Cross on a CD back there handy? During the fast. He sent out an email to those of us who can receive email and were on his list. He asked us to send in to him, if we could, a testimony of our experiences. And as a guideline, he asked us to state the reason why we fasted. What did you fast from? And he mentions like the Daniel fast, a total fast, a water fast, or certain foods. He also asked to describe the whole experience. Was it what you expected? Were you able to keep the whole fast? Fourth, he says, were you drawn closer to God as a result? Five, what did you learn about yourself during the fast? And six, describe any results of the fast that you can attribute to the fast itself, such as healing, deliverance from a habit or a sin, direction in your life. He says, however, you don't have to describe in every detail every sin. And then finally, he said, given the opportunity, would you attempt a prolonged fast again? Those were the questions he asked us to consider for our testimonies. Now, I think he had hoped that he would get 10, 20, or 30 written testimonies back in. He got three. One of them was his own. However, I'm not going to read that one to you because, bless his heart, about 3 days ago, sitting in the hospital, I don't know if he was in the room with Miss Pat or whether he was in the hallway. I could see a hallway behind. He made a video of his testimony about the fast, and we're going to watch that in just a few minutes after we give our own. I'll let him be last. I think he would like that. However, what I do need to know is, first thing I have to ask is, who out here would like to verbally give their testimony on how the fast affected them? And that's what we'd like to do. If you would, raise your hands just for a moment. I just want to get an idea of how many. So Mike and Summer, anybody else besides me? Okay. Why don't we start with that? And since Summer's closest, I'll ask her to come up. Are you recording this now, Mike? Okay. If you don't mind, Mars really wants them recorded, so you'll have to speak into the... You can stay there, actually. No. My director back there says you got to come up here.
That makes it twice as hard.
You're not on the screen.
Okay. What I want to say happened today. The reason I fasted is I need some chains broken. And really, I'm still waiting to see if some of them are. And I did the Daniel fast. And I stuck to it until 10:30 last night. And then I broke it last night. I was, having a lot of... I didn't know if it was conviction or condemnation. I've been struggling with that a lot. And all week long, actually all 3 weeks, every message has been about love. Love, God loves us, God loves us. And then we were singing this morning, and I can't remember exactly which song, and I was trying to get Dennis to help me. But, amazing love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
It's not condemnation.
Amen.
God loves me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Thank you, Summer. God bless you. Michael?
Who knows where it's going to take this?
Hallelujah.
What I got in my head may not be what comes out my mouth.
The Spirit knows.
Anyways, I started this fast off. My intentions were to go 21 days just with water. I got attacked with a cold early on, and the water just whipped me down. I mean, after 7 days, I was barely able to function. And God said, don't be stupid. You need food. So I started taking a slim fast in the morning and eating a bowl of soup at night. And I did that for the next 14 days. I've been doing that since. And from the very first day that I did that and came to church, people prayed for me that day. God healed me of the cold within 3 days. I had no more cold. I mean, was up and about and going strong from then on. Not to say that I didn't struggle through this fast, because there were days that it was very, very difficult to do anything. I mean, I was hungry. I wanted something. I was being attacked in my mind for all kinds of various things. Some things God had healed me of last year during one of the fasts, and was being attacked again this time. But I was able to, God was able to work with me and remind me that if I give it to Him, if I give it to Jesus, I can do anything through Jesus. And I was able to get through this fast very, very well. I mean, like I said, I struggled. There were times where the hunger was really, really bad, and I wanted to eat. I wanted that king cake. I wanted real food to eat. I wanted something to chew on. I think more than anything else, you want something to chew on when you go on the liquid fasts. In the couple of little pieces of potato in that potato soup, and enough, you know, that one little teeny green bean in the vegetable soup, you know, it just doesn't cut it. You want something to eat. But God's been really good to me. He's been good to my family. I mean, we've had some struggles through this. Would I do an extended fast? You better believe it. I mean, last year I went 40 days. God put me on a 40-day fast when the rest of the church was on 21. My beautiful wife stuck it out with me. And God did a lot of things for us last year. But last year was really, He made it easy for me. He wanted me to be excited about doing a long fast, I think, and giving me that desire to fast. And I think I probably a total of 80 days last year. Not bragging or anything, just God put that on me. I think He wants me to do a lot of. This year He showed me that even when it's tough, a fast is difficult, that if I give it to Him, I can make it through it. So no matter how hard they get, you can make it through. I mean, some are saying, I did great, I did good, I had struggles, I broke down last night, but you finished up strong anyways. And you gave it to God. I mean, He works with us. There were several things that Denise and I wanted. We were fasting for, especially the church and our ministries, a few personal things. God's given me some words on my personal ministries that this is going to be a year that's going to, I'm going to be stepping out. And I'm going to stand in faith that that's what's going to happen. He's told me and convicted in my heart that this, our church ministry, last year was a year of shaking for us. I mean, we got shaken, we got rattled. This is a year of growth and development. And I think we're going to step forward and go, and things are going to happen so fast in here, it's going to spin our heads. We're going to take off. Things are going to happen, and it's going to be more than any of us could ever expect. But just got to remember through the fast, God is good. He's going to take care of us, and we're just going to keep rolling. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay. I'll read. Oh, Miss Rose, come on. Come on down. Oh, I can cut. No.
I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. God is so good, and He is so faithful. I had a real struggle through this fast. I talked to somebody the other day and told her, some days I made it good, and some days I didn't. And the devil always knows when I have a real purpose. I wrote down a whole number of things that I wanted to pray for during this fast. And the first 2 days I made it okay. The next day diarrhea kicked in. And it was like God was saying, that's not the thing for you to do. You got to change that to something else that I know works for you. So some days were better than others. And Friday night, I was at a meeting, and after the meeting they had food, and I just broke the fast, and I ate Friday night. But to start out with, My brother went through an operation right when we started this fast, the next day. And I prayed for him that God would bring him through that okay. He came through. Doctor said the condition was serious. If he hadn't done it now, it could have been extremely serious later. But anyway, brought him through fine and gave him, been giving him strength. He's gaining strength every day. He's going back to work this coming week. Thank God. I've been praying for my sister-in-law who needs a healing. She needs a physical healing. She dislocated her arm. For those of you who don't know, she dislocated her arm back at the beginning of November. She's been through suffering tortures of hell with that because she has now an impingement in the shoulder and the muscle and the nerve. So we're praying for that, that God's going to release that. But in the meantime, God has done a spiritual healing in her life. She used to smoke. And she used to love to go to the casino. Now she doesn't smoke. And she told me the other day that her mom and dad wanted to go for a ride. So her daddy wanted to go to the casino. She said, now to tell you the truth, she said, I can't stand going to the casino anymore. She said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the cigarettes are gone, so we don't have to worry about that. And then I've been praying for some things for myself, praying about my business, because this is my business, y'all. Fleur de Lis, for those of you who don't know, and those who do know, we've been praying practically every week about my business that has been so slow and nothing's been happening, and I get a sale here now and then, and that's about it. And last year, I had a bumper crop. I made bunches of money last year selling, doing shows. I've been doing shows all this fall and this winter, and I can tell you how many sales I've sold on two hands. So Friday night in this prophetic meeting, a word was given to me that God said, your business is coming to an end. He's closing the door on that. And I had been praying all last week prior to that meeting, God, what are you doing? Are you doing something here that this is phasing out? Do you want me out of this business? And lo and behold, he told me Friday night, yes, the business is coming to an end. But he said, God's got something new on the horizon for me. He's moving me into a new direction. And that, you know, most of you know that last year I was given an opportunity to go to Houston to preach, and something happened, and that just quashed that thing, and so it went dormant for a little while. Well, the word Friday night is that my phone is going to start ringing, and I'm going to be called to preach, to go different places to preach. And I got the first phone call Friday morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to give God thanks for everything that he has done for me, everything that he is doing for me. And like Summer said, for the days when things didn't go too good on the fast, I was condemning myself. But then I realized, you know, that, hey, it's all up in his hands. If I surrender it every day to him, whatever happens, happens. That's it. But I just give him praise and thanks and honor and glory. And I just want to worship the Lord. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. God bless
you.
God bless
you. You most certainly can. Let me walk over to her. You can turn the camera there, can't you? Mars asked me to do that.
I'll turn the camera.
I'll hold this for you.
I went on the Dano Fast, and I struggled as well, but I made it. I made it. Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. And I did this fast. I wanted to get closer to God, and I really feel like I did. I really... reading the Bible every day, I realized I need to put the Lord first in my life. I would wake up, I would say, well, I need to do this and this and this, and then I'll get to the Bible before. Now I put the Lord first in my life, and I feel like it's brought me closer. And another thing I wanted from this fast was the healing for my leg, of course. But the Lord let me know that the leg is not the problem. the stroke affected my brain. That's where the problem is. So I can know what to pray for, the healing of my brain where the stroke affected. So I am very, very thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack, I'll trade places with you. Is it on yet?
Yes. Well, just like everybody else, last year was quick and it was easy and it was smooth, but this year was a lot of bumps and grunts, and we had a lot of difficulties running across this. And the devil made sure he let us all know that last year was an easy time, but this time it was hard. And he messed with my mind a lot, especially with, because last year a guy gave me a job that I knew was definitely designed for me by him. And then at the end of the year, I got laid off, and the devil was like, you see, look, he gave it to you, he took it away. Now, you see, he's not that there. Well, but I always had faith in God, and I always told my wife that stand strong, that God's got a reason. He won't leave us hanging out there. And, you know, I was on the Daniel fast, and I gave up all the things that I love and everything. But one of the main things I had never gave up was my faith in the Lord and all his beliefs and all his blessings. And even though I'm out of work and we're living on just what my wife's able to bring in, which is very little, but God's been there for me, and he's not let me go, because he's always, one of the biggest things that he gave me that I had to is a beautiful church, good friends, and family. And everybody's, and these three things have kept us going, and it's helped us to stay strong. And that's the one thing that I had to keep me going while this fast was going. And I know that with these three things, nothing can go bad against us. As much as the devil might want to throw things at us, I always knew I had those three things to depend on. And I bless and I pray for all those that's come to help us when we're down. And I remember that in the Bible, God always said, help those who are in need, and I'll be proud of you. So I say to y'all, thank y'all for all the things that y'all have done for us, from prayers to helping us when we've fallen. And all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is really not, oh my goodness, this is really not as much about the fast. It's just something that I just feel like needs to be said. And I don't know if, you know, how some of you feel about this, but I don't care. I believe it's Bible. For those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have been covered in the blood of Jesus, God does not record our failures. He does not remember our failures. And I know, you know, some of us have talked about the struggles and things that we're having. You know, when Jesus was crucified, he went into the heart of the earth and he defeated all the powers of the enemy. And then he rose and he went to heaven and he sprinkled his blood upon the altar. One of the things that was sitting on the altar is a book. That book records all of the failures of the saints of God. And he sprinkled his blood on that book. And he does not remember that. We do, and we fail. We do. But God does not remember those failures. The only thing that he remembers about us as believers are the things that we have done in him. All of the works that we've done, that we were just thinking about him and not about ourselves. What we did for other people. And I just feel like some people need to know that. You know, our religious upbringing for some of us, you know, has us thinking of God as somebody who's looking up there, you know, with a big stick in his hand, and he's ready to beat us down every time we mess up. And that is not God. That is not our Heavenly Father. God is on our side. He's for us. It's his very nature to want to bless us. You know, just like the prayer of Jabez when he said, God, bless me indeed. God wants to bless us a lot, all the time. And that's one of the things that, that God has witnessed to me during this fast. But I just feel like that that needs to be said. You know, we don't even need to talk about the times that you pulled in Burger King when you shouldn't have, okay? What we need to talk about, and you know, it's a growing thing. It's just like Pastor Morris said, you know, you do what your body will allow you to do. God sees the motives and the intents of our heart. He sees the desire that we have to want to get close to Him, to draw near to Him. So to those of you who didn't quite make it, I just want to say to you that it's a growing process. And God is going to give you the grace and the strength to overcome. And this is just one little baby step toward that goal. So.
I'll echo some of what he said. If you recall, I don't know if it's last Sunday or the Sunday before last, I mentioned that in preparing for the fast, I was considering the Daniel fast too for health reasons. I have diabetes and heart disease and all these other things, so I'm a little uneasy about going on a total fast. But so when I read in Daniel 10 where the story is about Daniel fasting for 21 days and the angel that was delayed for 21 days getting there, it enlightened my heart and lifted my spirits to hear the angel tell Daniel, when the angel first appeared to Daniel after 21 days, he didn't say, Daniel, what a great person you are for fasting for 21 days. He didn't say that. The very first thing he said is he said, God sent me to you because you humbled yourself before me, before Him, before God, and committed in your heart to do the fast. He didn't say a word about how many days he fasted, how successful he was or he wasn't. He said he responded to his humility. And I believe it was last Sunday that Dennis shared the words with us about passion, how God was speaking to him to restore the passion in our worship, in our praise, in our prayers, in our lives. Passion. And then Summer added, what's been speaking to her heart is God's unconditional love. And we just heard it again, that the thing that he confirmed for her in her fast was his unconditional love. And I added to that, to make it a triumvirate or whatever you want to call it, three things. I added to that humility. I said what God had been talking to me about during the fast was humility, a willingness to lay it all down, including my failures. Not only those things that I could lift myself up in my pride, but particularly my failures. And so I say to you, dear friends, passion, unconditional love, humility. Those are three things that we can experience in the life of Christ, and only in the life of Christ. Only, no other way. I have two testimonies that Morris will shoot me if I don't share. I don't know the people because he just sent me the content. One of them said, I did the Daniel fast with modifications. After the 11th day, I added some milk and other certain foods. I feel the most important aspect of the fast for me personally has been the discipline I have gained in spending quiet time with my Lord. I have been faithful in spending time and reading the Word and journaling. I was really hoping for more spiritual dreams and visions like I had the last fast. However, God had other plans for me. And then another person shared, and this person actually sent the questions and how they responded to them. And it said, oh, it's you. Oh, okay. State the reason why you fasted. I felt inspired in my spirit to do so. What did you fast from? I had no meats, only ate raw and cooked vegetables, yogurt, and some cottage cheese for protein, maybe an egg and a little bread for energy. In describing the whole experience, Barbara said, I only joined up during the last week, beginning that Sunday morning, and it's only Tuesday. I'll let you know, but so far, so good. Then were you drawn closer to God? Yes, especially during scripture readings of Job 38-42, a number of psalms beginning with chapter 1 and continuing onward, then a few chapters of Proverbs. What did you learn about yourself? That she could do it. And the results, the ever-presence of God, his love and concern for me, which lead me into praise for him. Hallelujah. And then given the opportunity, would she attempt a prolonged fast again? She says, yes, Brother Morris, I might even make it for 9 days next time. But seriously, now inspired, I would attempt the full three weeks fast with you. Hallelujah. And so my own personal journey in this fast, I could actually repeat most of the words that both of these folks said, and particularly the one in the first one, he said, I was really hoping for a more spiritual experience. I had brought at least three particular things before the Lord and hoped for insight on these three things during the fast. Most of you know that I'm in the process of retiring. I was actually supposed to retire the 5th of January, but the company said, could you stay on at halftime for a little longer? So I'm continuing to do that. I didn't feel good about that because my desire in retiring was I really felt I wanted to spend more time doing things for the Lord. And that's a stupid thing to say, but that's the truth. That's what my head was saying. I wanted to take the time to do things for God. I'm finding out you can't do things for God. You can only do things in God and through Christ, you know. And maybe that's the lesson I'm learning. But where I'm going with this right now, I said yes to my boss because they were in desperate straits. A very senior gentleman had left the company without any... He warned them the day before we went on vacation before Christmas and left the day after we came back. So they didn't have really any time to look around. So I agreed to do it. And like I said, I felt uncomfortable about it. So I asked the Lord if he would confirm for me that this was the thing I should be doing. That was the one thing. Well, he did. My way of getting confirmation, I threw out a fleece like Morris did, only I didn't throw out a $30,000 fleece. Mine was actually a lot bigger than that, to be truthful. I said they didn't know how they were going to pay me. They just said, we'll find something. And I've had them say that to me before, we'll find something. And usually it meant I had to go out on my own and find something. But the day after we came back from vacation, it was the 5th of January, the boss comes down. He says, Jim, he says, I have you funded as much as you want to work for the next 18 months to 2 years, including if you want to go back full time. So it's been confirmed. It's been confirmed. Now, because I didn't fully reveal my reason for retiring. The other reason I wanted to retire was because my wife and I feel called to spend more time with our grandson. He lives in San Francisco, and his daddy and mother could not make their marriage work, and so they got divorced almost a year and a half or 2 years ago, something on that order. And he doesn't have a man around the house. His daddy comes and gets him once or twice a week maybe, and all he does is takes him out to eat pizza or a hamburger or plays games, with video games with him. And he gets no spiritual input or training. His mother, we think, trusts the Lord, but she's never made a personal profession. She asks for prayer frequently, but she doesn't go to church. She has no fellowship. And so we just feel a need to get out there and be with my grandson. So I asked the Lord to confirm that for me, and so far I've not received an answer to that particular one yet. And then the other one was, like most of us, I asked that in this fast, by your Spirit, Lord, bring me closer to you in the knowledge of my own head. I know I can't get any closer than I am to Christ because I'm in him. But I mean, I want my head to be aware of that. I want your conscience. I wanted to be consciously aware of God's presence. And that's the other thing I asked. And that one, he's answered. He's made me aware of that. And actually, he confirmed it this morning in Summer's testimony. Because I don't think there's been a day that I didn't chastise myself for not reading more of the Word, not being on my knees more often, not getting off in the corner quietly somewhere, or 100 other things that I wasn't doing good enough during the fast. I was fasting, and I had no trouble. I had zero trouble eating or not eating. In fact, it's easy for me to not eat. It's not easy for me to eat a little bit. That's the killer. But I was really angry with myself most of my fast, missing the joy of the Lord. And it's so strange because towards the end of the night, when I would finally quiet my own mind, I'd hear him say, "It's all right. I'm with you." Well, what she shared this morning about God's unconditional love and his amazing grace confirmed in my heart, too. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Pure and simple, there is no condemnation. Christ died on the cross, not only for our sin, but do you realize he died for our shame, too? He died for our shame. He took it away. He crucified it, buried it, and it didn't rise with him. Shame and guilt did not come out of the grave. The life of Christ came out so that it could dwell in us. And does Christ have anything to be ashamed of? Is he not our life? So why would we be ashamed of anything? Hallelujah. Let's listen to Morris's testimony. And you don't need... Oh, Jack? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't even count them. Praise the Lord. Well, anyhow, let me lay this mic down, and if Michael dim the platform lights, we'll get it up there.
Be with you at the close of our pass. But this I regret that I can't be with you at the close of our pass, but Miss Pat needs me to be with her as she gives new life to her brother, so I know you will understand. I'm actually, as you can see in the background, in the hospital while this is taking place. My journey through this fast has been at times great, and at times difficult. My expectations were high as we began our 21-day fast. I had two primary goals I wanted to accomplish. First, I wanted to rekindle a closeness to God that the day-to-day rigors of life seemed to erode away. Second, I wanted assurance that New Beginnings Church would be confirmed in our hearts as New Beginnings Net Church. God has been faithful and answered both my requests. Spiritually, I've done much better this year than I did in 2009. I felt at times like Paul, who went through the heavens, unsure if he went physically or used any spirit. Those quiet mornings in my living room, with only the flickering out of the fireplace, lying on my floor with my prayer shawl draped over me, and the still voice of God whispering to my heart, were worth every hunger pain I experienced. I determined at the start of this fast to enjoy the journey, and not to rush through it anxiously waiting for it to end. Each pain or discomfort or unexpected whiff of cooking somewhere only encouraged me to look for him. And every time I sought him in those circumstances, I found him. I hope this nearness to God continues long after this pass. Every testimony that I received from you about your struggles and your victories brought tears to my eyes and shouts to my voice. I prayed earnestly for you throughout the fast and was assured that he was walking alongside of you as only the comfort can do. The journey was made all the sweeter having you alongside of me. The Net Church is firmly set in my heart, and I believe we are on the path of his will for us. The task is so ambitious that it can't help but fail without him. We will have to seek him every step along the way. But the fruit of his love will usher us along the way as new souls are brought into the kingdom. I firmly believe that we as individuals will grow as we place our hands to this high-tech plow set before us. We will cut a deep trench where good seed will be planted by the Lord. Those seeds planted in fertile ground will blossom and produce good fruit to the glory of God the Father. Now that the fast is over, I look expectantly to new and higher vistas where together we can see the light of the glory just across the horizon. Just as the northern lights fill the Alaskan winter sky and the brilliant colors fill a summer sunset in Louisiana, I believe we will see the glory of God breaking forth in each of our lives. Our goal lies before us. Let's run together into God's divine plan for us. Pat and I hope to see you soon. We love you and we miss you. God's blessings upon you. Goodbye.